I'm just saying, last week the audio was subpar.
Right. Okay.
The show was excellent.
Right, as always.
Content is king. The audio quality, not a big deal.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Was there a lot of complaints? Well, Insta buzzing? That's my wife would say.
Your wife doesn't say Insta buzzing.
I don't know.
You might be in line for a divorce. Hello and welcome to episode 508 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
I say it every week, but this week I really mean it, Adam. What is going on in Vancouver?
A lot of rain. A lot of rain going on
Oh no, really?
Which is good because the smoke is no longer an issue, but it's raining a lot and it will continue to rain for several days. So yeah, it's kind of like pick your poison. You don't want to go outside because it's a wasteland, or you don't want to go outside because you're going to drown in all of the water. Yeah.
I don't know. I do kind of miss the Vancouver rain a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
I can hear in there.
Yeah. A little bit.
Like when I used to live in Vancouver in the apartment there, it was a really cool neighborhood. It was a nice neighborhood to walk around in the rain.
I don't mind the rain. Yeah, when I first moved here from Eastern Canada, where it doesn't rain nearly as much, I wasn't a fan. Again, it's, I think, a lot of just whatever you're used to. And I've warmed to the rain now. I really don't mind it so much. I don't go looking for long walks to enjoy it, but I don't mind the rain.
Okay, got that. The thing is with rain, you don't have to shovel rain.
True.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, we got that out of the way.
All right.
This is actually one of my favorite times of the year in Vancouver. It's like end of August into September, the end of September. It's despite what's happening right now, it's actually my favorite great weather normally. Like it's kind of cooled off and it's still nice and sunny, but not today.
Yeah, it's
obviously
not too hot. Like, no, it is. When you get nice days, like we got one on Monday, it is. It's amazing.
Okay, so I want you to go out and enjoy it when you can.
Okay.
Because baseball must be ending soon.
Yeah, they're trying to jam a bunch in. Probably we'll keep going until mid-October-ish. I think we have some games scheduled.
Ooh, really?
But it's a crapshoot every
game. Like weekend
games. Yeah, I think we're supposed to play Friday, and then we try to jam a couple in on the weekends. But this weekend because of the forecast coming. I mean, it's on the schedule, but we'll see. I'd say, there's a more than likely chance that we're going to get rained out for most of this, but it's on the schedule, and we'll remain optimistic.
Plus, do you guys have lights?
Some fields have lights, but the games have been scheduled to not have to worry about that. Like the game on Friday is an away game and they have lights. It's at a high school. But the other games, our home games, are scheduled kind of on the weekends and the more in the earlier side, so that, like 4:30 to 6:30 or 2:30 to 4:30, so that we don't have to worry about the lights.
Has Jack ever played under the lights?
No, I think most of them haven't.
That's exciting.
Because most of the baseball has been, over the summer or the spring where it's light, out long enough that you don't have to worry about that. So, this would be a first. If Friday night game doesn't get rained out, then I think it's a 6:30 to 8:30 game at a local, not a local one, at a high school out in Langley, and that would be under the lights.
All right. I remember my first, not specifically my first night game. I remember playing, like, the idea of playing under the lights the first time, because they put lights in at Brighouse Park when I was a kid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where we would play if we were playing an evening game at this age. We'd play at Brighouse.
And that's pretty awesome. Right down, like, number 3 road runs right down there, like, and then Granville and left field. Like, so you're kind of right in the heart of the city, and there's a lot going on. It's a pretty cool time. I'm excited now that you're going to play. First night game, I want to see a bunch of photos.
Okay, well, if we actually play, then I'll have photos for next week.
Or possibly next year, or whenever it is that happens.
I was tasked an ask from the association if I wouldn't mind taking a few photos of fall baseball, just so they can, you know, post some photos of what's going on in Richmond baseball for fall baseball. So I was going to do this. Just a question of whether or not any of our games go this weekend. But yeah, if Friday goes, then first night game, I'll have the camera out there.
Are they going to give you a hat?
I have a hat.
Are they going to give you a hat to give me a hat then?
Why, you want a Richmond Chuckers hat?
Well, my son has one. He wears it all the time. But right.
The shipping on that hat will be $8,000 probably.
Yeah, well, probably not that much, but
okay.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I just think they should give you something for taking the pictures.
Well, I also help out. I'm like, you know, the third assistant coach, so
sure.
Yeah,
no, but the association could. I'll blow a call in.
They did give me a hat. I said, "Hey, I can't find my hat from last year. It was pretty beat up." And they said, "Okay, well, we'll grab you a new hat." And I did last game or the game before. Got a brand new hat. So we're good.
See, there you go.
I'm all covered. Yeah.
So you did get a hat then. So, yeah. So I don't know why you lied to me.
Didn't I say yes?
You said no. First time. No. You said I have a hat, but then you just. Look, I don't want to roll the tape back. Let's move on to something.
We're clear. Got a hat. Yeah, brand new.
Right, right, right. Amazon. If you need a hat, buy it on Amazon. Or just talk to Adam. He's got an extra one kicking around, evidently.
If I can find it.
Yeah, click through our site and help us out. I'm back on Amazon. I not that I was off it ever. I just hadn't ordered anything in a while. But I had to replenish my supply of pocket screws.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. You can't just walk into a hardware store here and buy them, unfortunately. So I have to Amazon those. Two different packs. One already came. One's in the mail, Adam.
Okay.
Yeah, I have sit on the edge.
Oh, no. I can't wait to hear the rest of this.
No. Go on the edge of your seat and wait. I'll let you know when they get here.
Okay. I had a funny, almost Amazon purchase story. It's not really that funny, but I was looking for, you know, one of those hockey drying trees. It's just like basically like
some,
you know, just to hang the like the gear after he plays hockey. And so Jack's gear, basically we have like a dryer rack, a plastic dryer rack, but it's kind of big and it's bulky, and like we hate it setting it up each time that we need to use it, and it's just always kind of in the way. And so I thought, okay, I'm just gonna get one of these hockey trees because they're a little more compact and it's just easier. There's a spot for everything on the little hockey tree, for the gloves, the pants, the helmet, everything. So
wait, where does he dry his equipment? On the back patio?
Yes, well that's the like the intended spot.
Right.
But sometimes, again, in sort of quick sort of turnaround scenarios, we'll just throw it up in the kitchen with the window open. But we want to be done with that. So we're saying back patio, the tree's going to live out there. I wanted to get something that, you know, is going to be good to just stay out there. It doesn't have to be set up, just basically a stand, boom, you're good to go. It lives outside. So anyway, so that was the idea with the drying rack. And so I looked up, you know, on Amazon, you know, drying rack, and I was reading a few reviews because there's a bunch on there and there's a huge price range. That's the other thing. Like there's like, you know, ones that have extra clips and more spots to hang things, and some of them look a little small. And I read a few reviews just to see what people thought. Are these for kids? Are these for adult size gear? Because kid's getting pretty big. Like he's 5'3" now and his gear's getting big. And so if this is for, you know, a 7-year-old's gear, his stuff's not going to fit. So anyway, so I read a few reviews, and then the one that I sort of saw that was getting all the good reviews, it was like on Amazon, it was like $90 or something. And I thought, okay, what's so special about this? But again, it has tons of reviews. Everyone says this is great, has all the extra clips. And then I thought, and then someone said like, yeah, this is great, but I didn't realize that they sell this exact model on Costco. I could have saved some money. So I read this review and then I thought, well, I'm going to go on Costco.ca and I'm going to see if they actually have this, if this is Canada or if this is US. So I typed it into the Costco Canada site. Sure enough, there's the exact same dryer for half the price. So okay. I thought, perfect. I'll order it on there. The shipping Costco is pretty good when it, like I've bought lots of stuff on the Costco online site. So here's a scenario where going on Amazon and actually reading a few reviews saved me a bunch of money. So there you go.
And click through our site and we get nothing, actually.
Yeah. So there's the moral of the story. Buy your stuff on Costco and don't help us out.
If it's cheaper somewhere else, I fully support that.
It was
way cheaper. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to our listeners.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's weird how an item like that could be so drastically different in price. And but anyways, it was a reading a review and still using Amazon, helped me out there.
There you go. Good review, guys. Whoever sent that in, good on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I bought some Forstner bits for my drill press.
Great.
Yep. Pretty proud of that. But I did buy something that you might be interested in, or if not, you're going to be.
Okay.
So I was talking to Mr. Marquardt yesterday, whom you'll hear later in this show, actually.
Okay.
Recorded in an interview with him. And he's doing his show. Most of his shows he's doing on the video, like he's doing video podcasts. And so he said, hey, he wanted me to come back on his show, but he said, hey, you got to do video and not just regular old webcam. You can now, I don't know if you've seen all like
4K, like three camera setup, right?
No, not three cameras, but three camera. Yeah. If you're having three people on, everybody has their own camera. Obviously.
No, I just mean three cameras on you. So you can keep switching like the perspective.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. They've, a bunch of manufacturers have released software that will allow you to use your like DSLR as a webcam now.
Okay.
So you could, get a decent lens on there and, change the exposure and all the things. You know what a DSLR does, so I don't know why I'm telling you.
Takes photos and video.
Yeah. So, but you can do that. Now, the rub is that if you want to use the USB output of like the Mark III, like I would, it's like a 12 frames or 20 frames per second frame rate. So it's kind of low. It's not great. However, the HDMI comes out of there at a full 30 frames per second and will go into USB. So I bought the USB to HDMI adapter pretty much because Chris sent it to me and said, hey, buy this. It's like, it was like $12.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I will be able to use my DSLR as a webcam to go on his show. But in the upcoming people seem to like having a video show. I disagree. I don't. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't watch a single one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm not the one keeping podcasts in business. So if people want to see it, like our plan was to do the 500th. We were going to do a video. I don't know if you knew that.
No,
I was also going to be in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you in January to start losing weight and you did. You started doing it. That was why.
Oh, okay.
But then of course we didn't go to Canada, et cetera. I'm just saying in the future, you and I may actually try a video podcast just to see what happens.
Okay.
So I bought one of those. Anyway.
I have to clean up my bedroom.
Well, I have to finish building my office too, because I've built, I'm at the desk I talked about last week, and I built a telephone stand / cabinet combo thing that matches, like put the modem router in, and I didn't want it kicking around on the floor. But that's it. I haven't built up my full office yet, so it doesn't look good and it doesn't sound great. Like I'm actually podcasting in a fort that I built.
Wow.
Like, when you're a kid, you build, what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So you got a whole bunch of couch cushions and blankets.
I got a bunch of blankets hanging off light stands that I built a blanket telephone booth that I'm nice. Podcasting, because the audio last week was awful. Let's come out and say it.
I was happy with mine. Yeah.
You did not even listen to a second of yours, because you would not be happy.
No, I slept well that night.
Yeah. Yeah. For the listener, Adam, not to blame actually. It's not your fault, but it's not your fault. Cause it's not anybody else's fault, but it's not your fault.
Okay.
Something every 10 episodes, something just flips off in his computer and all of a sudden the audio comes in peaking at minus 40 dB and I have to then save it, which as you heard last week, doesn't sound great. So anyways, so podcasting in a fort. Oh, my son had another baseball game last week.
Okay.
Another AB, another K.
Nice.
Same team. He's playing like the 12-year-old provincial championship team. So
they have provinces there.
Well, what do you call it? It's called states, but yes.
Okay.
It's kind of like, yeah. So we're in Baden-Württemberg. That's like the province slash state that we're in. I Canadianized it for you.
Okay. I was just curious because I had never heard you use the word provinces over there. So
state.
Just checking. Just clarifying.
What do they call it? I don't even remember what they call it in German.
Because I feel like in Europe, and maybe I'm wrong because I have no idea about the geography over there. And in the U.S., like the word province is like such a weird foreign word. Like that's right. A Canadian thing that I just clarifying. If you have that, yeah. I was excited.
No provinces. What they call Bundesland or whatever. But anyways, so Baden-Württemberg. That's where we live. And Bavaria is one. You've heard of that one?
Sure.
I'm guessing you can't name a single other one.
No.
Berlin is its own. Berlin is its own. You could have named Bavaria. You knew Bavaria.
Yeah, they've got good cream, right? That's the place with all the cream.
That's what they're known for, sure. Yeah,
sure.
Bavarian cream pie. Great.
All right. See, yeah. I told you I'm good at this.
You are good at this. You are good at this. All right. Let's get into some photo stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a TV show called Mad Men?
Yes, but I haven't watched it for many moons.
Yeah, same here. Like, I hadn't. Like, I watched it in its original... I wouldn't say its original run. I probably picked it up after season two and then watched back and then it got caught up. That kind of thing?
Yeah, that's similar to me. And I probably only watched the first three seasons and then I just fell off.
Right, yeah, fair enough. It was... I happen to really like that show. Didn't think my wife would like it too much at the time, so I didn't bother including her. And... anyways, I guess a couple weeks ago, I forget why, there's nothing going on, nothing on, and I just said, I'll just see if she likes this show. Blam, she loved it. Just loved it. So, like, okay, so it's on the Amazon Prime over here, and so we started watching that. So we're somewhere in the middle, beginning of season three now.
Okay.
Point being, I knew at the time, but I'd forgotten that it is probably the best photographed, best lit TV show / movie in ever. It is absolutely amazing to just watch and just think, wow, like the lighting, the set decoration and how that applies to the mise en scène. Well, no, but how it applies to the photography and like the color schemes and the lighting, the color in the lighting and the mix of hard light and the way they do it. It is just an absolute, like every week, just a masterclass in lighting.
Great.
Yeah, so don't listen to this show. Just watch Mad Men.
Sure.
And try to light like that. Like really, really kudos to whoever did that. And I urge people to go and revisit it strictly for that purpose. All right. Reminder, monthly challenge this month, it'll be next week, by the way, is window light, # two hosers monthly challenge, # hey hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. That's blowing up. The gram is exploding. What did your wife say?
I can't remember what I said. Buzzing? Did I say buzzing?
Yeah, maybe.
Something
I think
like
we should just shorten
Insta.
That. We should just shorten
I said Insta, which is...
Oh, Insta.
I said Insta is buzzing, yeah.
That's Insta buzzing.
I hear my wife say that jokingly, kind of mocking, you know, Sarah and like the kids these days.
She's okay.
Like, Sarah, is Insta buzzing? Like that's sort of a...
She's got to be on the TikTok anyways.
I can't keep up. I don't know. I don't know what's right. Cool and what isn't. And yeah.
Yeah. Nor should you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. What was I saying about the? They should just call it gramming. That's it, gramming.
Sure.
If it's buzzing, if the Insta is buzzing, well, yeah, it's gramming. I'm starting that now. I'm gonna see how it goes. No, the G at the end. Only it's gramming.
Gramming.
Gramming. We'll see how that goes. Probably not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyways, do all those things. Tag us, and Adam will make fun of you next week.
Sure.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, once again.
It's been a long time, Adam.
I know. It's just, again, like, I, you know what? There was a really great day, evening, where we played baseball and I didn't have my camera and I was sad and I just thought, oh, missed opportunity. Like, you know, game that sort of stretched into the evening, was really nice light, and I didn't have my camera and I regretted it. So all I can do is kind of say that, you know, I should have had my camera and I didn't, but next time I'm gonna plan ahead.
Okay, start, especially now, you know, magic hour comes earlier in the evening, you know, before 8 o'clock when you fall asleep.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, no excuse, no, very little, except for the rain, but very little excuse to not have your X100 with you.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I'll do the same. I'll start, I actually shot zero this week. Absolutely nothing. Like I said, I spent most of the week in the shop building various things, including that stand I was talking about and whatnot. So all boring stuff, but zero, just really no opportunity to, my son played in that game, but I actually had to be the head coach that day, which I wasn't super thrilled about, but I did anyways, which is weird because I don't know the kids, like he's new to that team, like 3 weeks, right? Like, so I don't know any of the kids' names. I don't know where they play. Hey, who wants to pitch? You know, that's kind of how I was coaching that day.
Right.
But point being, I couldn't bring my camera. So other than that, really nothing else happened that was worth taking photos of. So here we are.
Oh, you can kind of, this is baseball related, but not really, just life related. I was working, but it was last Saturday. Jack's team had a doubleheader out in White Rock, and First at bat, first pitch, like he got moved up the lineup because he's been hitting well. So he got, you know, the number two slot, which is a big deal for him. At
also, like, my favorite spot.
Again, playing with, you know, kids that are the best kids that are a year older than him. And anyways, he got the number two spot. I wasn't there, so this is all through my wife. But first pitch of his first at bat, just drills a foul ball off his front ankle. And,
oh, no.
And so just, you know, it's one of those fluky things. I mean, in all the at-bats and all the BP he's done, he's never done this, but just drives it straight into his front medial ankle. And then, you know, basically hobbles towards first base because the ball goes fair at first, not sure what to do. They call it a dead ball. He's having a hard time kind of walking. So he tries to go back, and then he can't really plant on that foot. So he comes out of the game. You know, this is fall ball, so nobody really cares that much. But, you know, the coach says, okay, do you want to try to go out and play in the field? So someone comes in and takes the rest of his at bat. So no big deal. He goes out in the field and kind of limps around, and Lisa's texting me saying, like, I don't know if he should be out there. He's really limping. Like, he can't really run. He tries to take one more at bat the next inning and hits a ground ball and can't run down the line. So sort of just kind of half jogs down the line. And then he just comes out and has to miss the rest of that game and the next game because his ankle swells up. He had hockey that day. So basically had to miss everything in that day because of the foul ball. And just iced it all day, and it was a lot better the next day. But just one of those out to White Rock, your whole day around a doubleheader of baseball, and your first at bat, you just smash it into your ankle.
Now, I am vehemently opposed to batters wearing the padding that they wear, like the elbow pad and all that stuff. Right. I hate it. I think it ruins the game. I do fully support anybody who wants to wear that inside ankle protector for that reason.
Yeah.
So
nobody wears one, and he hasn't worn one since. It's never been one of those things. And he's like, I get it for kids that, like, you know, they tend to do this a lot, like smoke the ball down by that foot. Like, some kids tend to just their swing path might be more prone to hitting the ball down and towards their front ankle like this. Being that he's never done it before, I thought, all right, like, you know, do you really need anything there? Like, if you do it if you do it again, then sure. But he's never done it before. So I thought, okay, like one more thing to kind of worry about. And he's not the kind of kid that likes to, you know, have something like that stands out.
I'm glad to hear that, man. I can't get on board with the swag. It's called swag. I don't know if you knew that. Do you know what it's called, swag?
Sure.
I know it is. And the kids, like the kids, some of the kids, they put like white tape on their helmet in certain spots, like in patterns, like on the ear flap, means something. And it's called swag.
Okay.
Don't do it. Don't go down that rabbit hole.
No,
man.
And again, the only reason I would do it would be if he was doing it regularly. And I thought,
oh no, that's fine. Yeah,
yeah. And I thought that it might just be a confidence thing. Like once you do it a couple times, you might be a little bit more fearful of it happening, and you know, it might affect your like how you kind of you know what your fear factor of going in and facing a pitcher. So I thought if that was an issue, but seeing that it didn't faze him at all, like he was fine the next game, so I just said forget it. But yeah, one of those things are just super frustrating when you travel for like I felt bad for my wife. She's like, all right, and the grandparents were there. It's like, all right, first at bat, you're done for the day.
Yeah, yeah, that happens. It's happened to me exactly once in my life. It happened 4 years ago. It's never happened before, never happened since. It was really bad though. Like it fell right off like the inside of my shin. And so I didn't notice till I was on second base and I had, can you get a hematoma on your shin?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I got then. That's what it was. It was ballooning out and like I was kind of freaking out and I was like, I couldn't really do anything. We didn't have much of a bench and I was the tying run and I like late in the game and I'm like, okay. And this is just a few months after a guy in our team had to have emergency surgery because of compartment syndrome on his leg. Like he took a line drive.
Yeah.
And like they said, oh, good thing you got here. Another half hour, you'd have lost your leg. And so, so now I'm looking down at this like, oh no, like this, this isn't going to happen, is it? And fortunately it didn't. And I've never done it since. So, all right.
All right. So there you go.
So didn't shoot anything interesting. There you go. Photo challenge this week is from last week's show. It's our desk lamp studio.
Right.
How did you like this, by the way?
Are you talking about my photo?
Well, let's talk about your photo, but then like how did you like the whole challenge of it? Like what?
Oh, how did you like it? I thought you said how did you light it?
No. We saw how you lit it with desk lamps.
That's right.
Although you didn't. You said you didn't have
desk lamps. I had a desk lamp. I had like a reading. No, I had like a I don't know what you call it. Like one of those IKEA kind of stand lights that sits in our bedroom we use for reading and it has like two bulbs and they can swivel around. Like it's just like a thin metal kind of lamp that's I don't know 5 feet tall, but it has a couple of lights on it that you can spin around. So that's what I use. I don't know, technically that's not a desk lamp, but you get the idea. Yeah,
I get the idea. So yeah, there you go. So did you something with a filter on this, right?
No, this is my phone up close, the end.
What are you talking about? Are you serious? What's why is it? It looks like you added some sort of a drawing feature.
A drawing feature,
like one of those filters in Photoshop, where it looks like crosshatch or something, or posterize or whatever it's called.
I don't know. I didn't do anything. I used a little bit of the gradient filter after, like just to kind of spotlight it.
Okay,
that's it. This is just my new phone, so my iPhone XR.
There's something going on here. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like I'm looking at the photo you sent. Mm-hmm. That you uploaded it looks crunchy.
I think it's just because of the light, like because of the nature of that stand. I can only get the light so close, so right. And it's also like etched metal, right? Like so the actual object,
I'm looking at the carpet that it's on too.
That's not carpet, that's my wife's sweatshirt. It's a black sweatshirt.
Okay.
And so you're seeing all the fibers of it, but that's just, and that's not the, that's not Lightroom or anything, the app. That's just my natural phone in whatever mode, like the regular camera mode, just up close. It tends to create that sort of out of focus background. Like that's just what it did. So now this is, and it's not in a macro mode or anything. This is just my phone up real close. And right. this is just what it did. And the interesting thing was, because I'm not using any manual exposure or anything, like I said, I just thought of this in the way that, you know, the students of this class were going to do it. So if we were just setting this up and they were just going to come in there with their phone and snap a shot, that's kind of how I addressed this. I just wanted it to be as similar to that scenario as I could make it. And at first, I tried the Lightroom app and I took a couple photos and it was like super grainy. And again, I guess because maybe the lights are up higher and, you know, in I shut out all the other ambient light. So I'm trying to, again, just kind of have it be the only light is the light from these lamps, in which case they're, it looks like to your eye there's enough light, but to these cameras, like I'm used to, I guess, you know, the ability of my DSLR and the high noise kind of, you know, capabilities of the DSLR are so much greater than the phone. So this is okay. A low light scenario where the phone, you know, has a lot more difficulty. And in the Lightroom app, it really struggled. But in the regular camera app, it did a much better job. And so, yeah, it was just basically a point and shoot. No trickery here, but I did notice how the focus really kind of has an SLR type look. Like it really falls off. The focus is right in the middle, almost like a, you know, a 2.8 lens or something. And yeah, but other than that, it's just, there's nothing. I didn't do anything other than add a little bit of a gradient.
Well, the camera's doing it then, because there's something crunchy about it. Like you, it looks like you went in and did this.
No, I didn't do anything.
Like this is an example of low light. This isn't that. Like there's something going on with your camera, or the software inside that is doing this. Because this, I thought you went and did this just to make it interesting, which I wasn't gonna, you know, give you any demerit points for. But now I'm really confused about why it would do that.
Okay, I don't know, but I like the photo.
Sure. Now this is a Bill Reid original.
This is a ring that I got for my wife many years ago. I'm not sure even, I don't remember like if it was some sort of jeweler at a farmer's market kind of situation, but it's just a little wraparound ring that I really liked. And so, yeah, and she's had it in a little jewelry box. And I thought, okay, I want to photograph something that's kind of interesting. And as far as jewelry goes, this was kind of, again, unique and interesting. And so just, yeah, basically dropped it on a sweater on, or a sweatshirt on a chair, a black sweatshirt with just hung the black background in behind over a doorway. And yeah, the two IKEA lights kind of just at different angles, kind of above the ring. And that's it. Got in close with the phone and shot this. And I just tried to kind of even out the, it's kind of a 50-50 between the background black, and knowing that the light was directly over the sweatshirt, that was going to basically bring up, you know, like it was going to be a lot brighter in the foreground. There's no way to match those blacks perfectly for the angle that I was going to shoot. So I thought, okay, let's make it a 50-50 so that it's kind of like nice and even in the middle. And that's it. Just took the shot and the end.
And how easy is this if you have to do something like this for a project? I mean, it's crazy easy.
Yeah, it's really easy. You just need the black background, really. And I mean, I guess if you had a big enough room and you could knock out the background entirely, you don't even need a black background if you just have a Yeah. So no,
do
this
it
was
at night,
this,
maybe.
Yeah, this was really, really easy.
Yeah, if this is one of those things where basically, like, our school teacher friend will listen to last week's episode, at least part of it, till he realizes how bad the audio quality is.
Right.
And then even then he'll bail out, even though it's about him. No, hopefully they're going to get really good results. So here's mine. Mine's actually, you can see the behind the scenes picture of mine is last week's album cover, which Adam doesn't even know about either. But on our website and on the gram, that's twittering on the gram, last week's album cover is a wide shot of how I shot this. So very, very similar. I mean, I used two desk lamps, my kids' reading lamps, brought them in just through my black. I have the cloth muslin background, black background, just threw it on the floor, kind of draped it over our bed and onto the floor, had my kids hold the lights for me. And, here's the secret move though that I highly recommend. You have an iPad, right?
I do. I'm using it right now for this podcast. Yeah.
Comes in wicked handy for something like this. So I basically lay the iPad. I put it on a couple of wood blocks to elevate it from the black background, so that when light, I don't want any of the light hitting the muslin background, because you will get a little bit of, it's not velvety black, you know, it's black, but there's still you can see a little bit if it's close. And so I pull it way away from the background. I want it up so I don't get any of like the connection that you talked about, like having the black background with the black sweatshirt. So I avoid that, which this does quite well, and then lay the iPad. First of all, shine the iPad up, get all your fingerprints off, and then I laid the baseball on there, and that's what gives us that little reflection. There you go. It's two lights, one sort of top light, but a little bit behind, sort of not even three quarters, but something like that. And that's sort of, yeah, right over top, and then just camera right, and just like millimeters out of frame, just to sort of get that little soft fall off instead of the super hard. I didn't modify the lights at all, just turned them on, and there you go. And you end up getting this sort of shaped light with a nice cool reflection, and could not be easier. I did shoot it with the Lightroom app, and didn't have to make any adjustments in post, but just in case I did, in case I wanted to shift the white balance a little bit, but I didn't need to. You could just shoot this with your basic camera app and be off to the races.
Right.
So, really cool proof of concept from last week. This will come up again. In fact, like not this exact thing. I used my other camera, but I did something kind of similar. Not really that similar. Now that I think about it, I didn't use lights, but I did use a simple white background for the album cover this week. But it's really nice to do a very, very simple setup like this every now and then. All right. Topic this week. I've talked with you before about it, and I'm still on the fence. The good news is I don't have to make a decision yet, but I'm still deciding between, you know, do I buy a Fuji camera? Do I buy the R6? What am I doing? And sensor size came into play. The good news is I don't have any jobs in the horizon because of Corona, so, you know, no pressure right now.
Right.
To make a decision, but I want to talk more about sensor size, and who better to discuss sensor size with than Adam's mom. So
yeah, here she is. You didn't know, one of the foremost experts on this topic.
Yeah, she invented medium format photography. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
I decided, hey, you know, I'm going to talk to Chris Marquardt about this. Tips from the Top Floor, Chris Marquardt, because I mean, I've shot medium format with him. I've shot large format, all kinds of stuff, and he has experience with all of it. And I wanted to know if full frame is necessary. And so we spoke a little bit yesterday. Fun fact, it's going to be a two-parter. We went on for so long that I split the interview into two.
Right.
So here,
in my first part's got more of my mom, right?
Yeah, we talk mostly about your mom. What she's up to now, why you never call her, that kind of stuff.
Right. Second part is about sensor size.
Yeah, we get into that. So it's just, yeah, stay tuned. Skip ahead, but maybe wait till, actually in a couple of weeks. So without further ado, here's part one of my interview with Chris Marquardt. So we're 10 minutes in and nothing was sorted.
Do we need to sort anything?
Oh, lots to sort out. Don't you? I mean,
are we talking pandemic now?
If you want, can you sort it? I would like someone to sort it.
I do not have a good solution, and it's hit me as hard as anyone. I mean, business-wise.
Business-wise, sure.
I've no travel, nothing.
I think it's hit you harder than most, because you base most of your... you tell me how much of your business is based on travel photography and travel workshops.
Probably half.
Right. Which is a sizable chunk, and
it's, but then on the other hand, you know, I really have two sides about this, because on the one hand, I mean, okay, this thing has to go away because it really doesn't just disrupt things, but it kills people, and that's not good. So that's the one side of it. The other side of it is, with spending so much time here at home, I have had. Not just time to explore new avenues, but I had a kind of a kick in the butt to do it, you know. So right. I'm now making four of my podcasts. I have added video to them, and not in a bad way. We're not talking Zoom with like pixely stamp size video and sound that is horrible, but decent productions. And it really has led me down that path, which I'm very happy because I always wanted to do this, but I never had the time to do it. So, and I grow amazing tomatoes.
I love tomatoes. You're a real glasses half full kind of guy. Okay.
In this respect, yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, of course, there's a loss in income, but it's also every crisis is an opportunity. This one, I don't see that any differently.
No, I feel the same way, and you know, our listeners are except for a few of them, tired of hearing me talk about all the woodworking projects I'm doing. But it's always something. There's always something.
Oh, you
on
send
the
me
go.
Photos of your workshop. I mean, hey, that's a good set of tools.
And 10 fingers still. So it was a close call. Close call recently.
Are you scared of the table saw?
I am not scared. It does have my full respect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because these things scare the living hell out of me.
I'm a little bit, I wouldn't say fearful, but I have a little bit more trepidation using the router, the Oberfräse.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Because that's spinning very fast, and I'm wondering, yeah. do I need a Kevlar vest? I don't know what the protocol is.
You know, my router is a Dremel that with a mm-hmm. with a router attachment kind of thing, the very tiny small version
okay.
of that. So, but I also don't do the things that you do.
So. Right. So no, the table saw. It had been a while since I'd used it, but I did a lot of YouTubing to remind myself on where the issues. How you lose your fingers. That's where I looked. And I avoid those situations.
And I can say that, and that's not just because of COVID, but a while ago, I started really falling deep into this YouTube hole of workshop videos, maker videos.
Okay.
People and their lathes, and they making amazing things and woodworking stuff. So and I used to have, you remember when I was in Tubingen, and I used to have my my studio right above what's Schreiner in English, furniture makers.
Right.
So I spend a lot of time in their workshop. So the whole woodworking thing is near and dear to my heart. So I can probably nerd out, even though I only have a very limited set of tools to work with myself.
Oh, it's great. I'll get you down another YouTube rabbit hole that we've gone down as a family is school bus videos.
School bus? What?
People in the States buy old school buses, tear them out, and build tiny homes in them for driving around the United States. And it is awesome.
So it's a camper van situation.
Something like that, but it's a full house. Everybody has a Nature's Head toilet, I guess. And you get to, that's the joke. Even my 6-year-old son always jokes when we first start watching one. Oh, wait till it get to the Nature's Head toilet.
I love this.
yeah, but the people building, you like to see how people custom build their kitchens and their bedrooms and which way does the bed, it's honestly, mm-hmm. it's like a couple nights, a couple evenings a week. Anyways, what I wanted to talk to you about, besides many things, it's been a while since we talked, but I've been thinking about this for a while. Sensor size.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you and I have talked for, like, actually, this started almost a year ago, I bet, when I was sending you photos from my 5D Mark III that I was unhappy with. And a little soft, and finally got it fixed. Seemed okay. Then I dropped the camera. Probably not okay now. But then it was okay. So maybe it's okay. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's me. It's probably not me. Could be Canon. Long story still long. I was ready to jump ship from Canon and just walk mm-hmm. away.
Mm-hmm.
And which is weird because I own four ones in pieces, but three operating Canon DSLRs, but I have a Fujifilm X100F, which again, the listeners are tired of hearing about that. And I love that camera. Absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about going right over and just getting rid of my Canon, sticking with a couple of the lenses because you can adapt them, no problem. And just going with the, pairing everything down, going with the Fuji, getting an X-T4, which would handle video quite well, from what I understand, and from all the research I've done. The rub is, it is a compact sensor. Now, so is my X100F, and I love it. Am I a full frame snob?
Why? How compact is it?
It's an APS-C sensor. It's the same. It's the same as
That's not compact. That's not compact.
That's but it depends. If you want to get on the internet hype, like you're an amateur if you're using a small compact sensor.
I have one camera with an APS-C sensor. No, two actually. I have two APS-C sensors and one full frame.
So
APS-C wins out here in this household.
That's why I asked you, because, background is, I thought, am I being a snob? And so I actually went and looked around at all of the pictures hanging on my wall, or that usually hang on my wall, and I started to notice a theme. A whole lot of them were shot with the compact sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't seem to know. Like, they don't seem to, no one looks at it and goes, oh, wow, your kids are sure cute. Ooh. That's a pretty small sensor you had there. No one says that.
No, and I'm pretty sure there will be some snobbery incoming over the next 20 minutes or something, because I am a fan of larger sensors. I like them.
Okay.
But I think we have to preface this with, the sensor size is not going to make you a better photographer. Buying a bigger sensor, it's not going to do that. I mean, that's obvious. I make a point in smuggling a little iPhone shot into my Flickr stream every now and then, just to test the waters, and people don't care. They do not care about it.
Okay. So
it's the photo is about the emotion, it's about what's in the frame. But having that said, I think bigger sensors are way more awesome.
Okay, but why? Now I agree. I think, obviously pros always talk about, it's not about the equipment. And then they go out and shoot with their $12,000 gear.
Of course.
Of course they do. So it is about the equipment. And back to table saws, I didn't buy the $100 table saw from Aldi. That would be a horrible error. No offense, Aldi. I guess, if you're doing arts and crafts, maybe. But I bought the big heavy-duty Bosch one for a reason.
So, we can go along the tech side first. I mean, a bigger sensor will capture more light and
still
have... Yes, of course. I mean, there's more surface. I mean, this is physics, okay?
It's a bigger bucket.
There's a bigger bucket, and individual pixels can be bigger, so you are likely to have less noise at the same ISO, because the variance between individual pixels is smaller. The bigger buckets are better to measure, are better at measuring the amount of light. So the technical side, and those differences aren't big. They are not big.
I thought we stopped with the ISO peeping a while ago. Isn't ISO just great now?
No, bigger numbers are always better. I mean,
no, but bigger, but I don't care.
Marketing loves bigger numbers.
Okay, marketing, sure. I think I've shot at ISO 3200 a couple times, but generally what I've noticed at the lower, at 320 where I like to shoot, the cameras are clean.
No, it doesn't matter. And our sensors are and have been at the point for a while now where I would say, it doesn't matter. Shoot at 1600 if you want to. It doesn't matter. Doesn't really do anything. At those lower levels, you won't see a difference.
Okay, so at the geek level, why is full frame full frame?
Well, full frame is not... talking about the naming of things, it's really funny because it depends on what technology you approach it from. If you approach it from film, what we call full frame in German is called Kleinbild, which translates to small picture. So the full frame format, the 35mm format, used to be the tiny one, because photography on film comes from much, much bigger sizes. So the photographers had to, they originally had these huge, big cameras that were really heavy to carry around, and they shrunk them down to that format, or Leica did. And if you approach it from the digital side, this started with the tiniest sensors, because those were the ones that they could manufacture easily and didn't have too much scrap to throw away. And then they sized them up slightly. But so full frame, this big, big full frame, used to be a tiny format when you come from a different technology. So what was the question?
Why is it called a full frame? Well, that's why. That is why it's called a full frame. Yeah. But then I understand, like you said, the digital came in, it was cost prohibitive. You couldn't bring it to market generally to make a full frame camera. So you had to kind of, you know, do something in between, which is a much smaller sensor.
Those initial sensors, I mean, I look back at my first digital camera, which was a compact camera made by HP, fully automated. You couldn't set anything in there, and the sensor size was, if you look at the size of the fingernail on your pinky, that was probably right. Half of that. I mean, really, really tiny
sure.
sensor in there. So you're
getting a 640 by 480 image.
Sort of. I think it was a bit better, but not much.
Well, that was my XL1 digital video camera was a 640 by 480.
Yeah.
Technically 720 by 480, but that's a different square. It doesn't matter. Okay, so when it comes to now, when I first started shooting digital, I had my 40D, which I still have, unbelievably. It will not die. It was a so-called APS-C compact sensor. So like a 1.6 crop factor, and you hear all these buzzwords. But that was the idea is that at the time, it was reasonably priced at, I think with a lens, it was probably around 1700 Canadian, but a full frame camera was at least double that. The 5D Classic, which I also own, courtesy of you, I still use it. Love that camera,
oh, that's
too.
Still there? Awesome.
It almost died, and then it didn't. Now it's still working.
It's a zombie now.
Oh, it takes its own photos. It's excellent. So, but back then, this was like 2007, 2008, everybody was saying, oh, that's fine, but you got to go full frame. You got to do it. Why? Why would you want to? What? How does it affect the focal length, the perspective, the depth of field?
Okay, let's talk about two important things. The first one is what is a normal lens? What we call a normal lens is a lens that has a lens that gives you a certain image angle, and the focal length is about the diagonal of the sensor. So, simply said, for full frame, that's about 50 millimeters. It's more like 43, but that doesn't matter.
Okay, 36 let's go with, squared plus 24 squared.
Okay. Yeah, it's 43 point something, but 50 right. is close enough, and it's a fine and nice number. And this is not an absolute science. This is more like in the ballpark, okay? So mm-hmm. you have the 50 millimeter, and those 50 millimeters on a full frame will give you a certain image angle. They will cover a certain amount of what you look at. So that's the normal lens for a full frame. If you look at let's go larger. Let's go medium format. Mm-hmm. Right? Bigger sensor, and the medium format sensor, the normal focal length is about 80 millimeters. That is roughly the diagonal of a normal medium format picture.
An even bigger bucket you're using at the back.
Yeah, but let's leave that out for now. Let's just look at the focal length. So the 80 millimeter lens on a medium format camera covers about the same angle of view that the 50 millimeter covers on the full frame. So you have this, the same coverage, but that 80 millimeter lens on the medium format is an 80 millimeter lens. And that is longer than the 50 millimeter lens. And if you've ever used an 80 millimeter lens on any camera, you'll know that there is more bokeh, less in focus. So the depth of field is more shallow. There's the background is more blurry. So what that means is with the same coverage, with the same picture, the same amount of stuff that you see on the picture, you will have less in focus. You will have more creamy backgrounds.
If you go better looking people.
Better looking people. They are nicely separated from the backdrop.
And what you notice is like the gets into a lot of different, a lot of math. There's no math involved in this, but it tends to, please don't argue this oversimplification, it tends to compress the nose and the ears and all that stuff. Doesn't really do it, I understand.
I'll go with it. It's fine.
Without getting into the whole ratios, it does. People do look better. I remember like the few times whenever I meet Hollywood actors particularly, and sometimes the actresses as well, which they're just called actors now as well. But whenever you meet them in person, a lot of times you'd be surprised at how big their features are. For example, a lot of them will have like a larger nose or whatever, and you think, wow. But then when you see them on camera, they are amazing. Like, it looks, you're like, well, that's why you're a movie star. For sure. Like, and it makes sense. So that happens with like the longer lenses.
Yeah. But now let's go even bigger. Let's go large format, 4x5 inches, which is okay. like the size of your hand. That's the negative.
We can go bigger than that. I see one in the background there that's even bigger, isn't it?
What? No, that's a 4x5 in my background.
Okay.
Here. So 4x5, again, negative about the size of your hand. And that has a diagonal of about 150 millimeters. So it's almost twice as big in diagonal as the medium format. Mm-hmm. So you will shoot that one with a 150 millimeter lens, and it will cover the same amount of what you see as the 80 millimeter on the medium format and the 50 millimeter on your full frame, or a 25 millimeter on a 4x5 micro four thirds, right?
Okay.
So, but the bokeh on that one, I mean, the control over bokeh is just mind-blowing. And what that does a few things. Those longer focal lengths do a few things. And one of them, and that has to do with the size of the sensor, is the transitions from, let's say, from the sharp to the bokeh part. There is, if you, let's say you shoot along a wall, for example, and the front is in the focus, in focus, and then it goes out of focus as the wall goes in the distance. And that transition from the in-focus part to the out-of-focus part on a bigger sensor just has so much more space. It turns into a much more creamy, might be a word for it. It looks better. The same is true for transitions from bright to dark or vice versa. If you have a...
Okay.
If you have something, a gradient of sorts that you take a picture of. I mean, just a soft light source on a face, you'll have those light wrapping the face and gradients where no light is. And those will turn into something much, much smoother, much, much better looking.
Now, this is not just an artistic... How do I put this? This isn't just some artist guy blabbering on. I've seen this.
Space in which that change can happen.
I have been to your large or medium, it was large format workshop a few years ago, whatever it was, back in Tubingen, and where we shot a 4x5 and we shot medium format, and they look amazing. And not just because there's more megapixels there, which are not there, I understand, but it's not just, oh yeah, well, there's more megapixels, so great, of course it looks better. It physically looks amazing.
So but now this is without any modern technology, right? We're looking at something that is just a piece of glass and a piece of film, so there's no computation and stuff in there, because today, and that is something that tries to compensate for that and can do that to a certain extent, is computational photography. So we're looking at smartphones now that can create, but they have tiny sensors, first of all, okay? So we're talking about this pinky size fingernail sensor thing. So that is tiny, and that ends up being very short normal focal lengths, right? The diagonal is tiny. So you are talking 10 millimeters, 6 millimeters as the normal focal length. And that means a lot of things in focus. That's your problem with very small sensors, because that's how the focal lengths work on these. So your smartphone, and you probably noticed that if you shoot with your smartphone, more is in focus than if you shoot with a bigger sensor.
Until you
enter 20, I don't know, 16, 17, and companies, the Apples and the Googles and whoever makes smartphones, begin putting algorithms in there, machine learning, some digital wizardry that analyzes the photo. Some of them have two lenses, so they know how far things are away from the sensor. They have depth information. And now you end up with this depth map, and then they start to compute bokeh, because stuff that's further away will just blur a bit more And we do it in a nice looking way, and stuff that's close doesn't get as blurred. So you simulate in a very, very good way nowadays.
Amazing.
The newest phones are amazing looking. That there's still sometimes artifacts at the edges that where it doesn't really figure it out, especially with the phones that don't have depth information. I still have my XR, iPhone XR, which only has one lens, so it has to kind of detect what is a human and what is not, and do the bokeh based on that. But even that isn't bad. It's really good in most cases. So the computational aspect kind of is in the process of changing that. But if it wasn't for that, then the bigger sensors would win out, I think.
And we're back?
Maybe.
Oh my, that was some tense 5 minutes right there. Forget the interview. Which is brilliant again. Another brilliant interview.
Right. But
another home run, but right at the very end, your computer froze up. That's what happened.
Yeah. It did.
Okay, but what that means is, let me explain this to the listener. We just blathered on for way too long anyways, and we were not sure if we lost the entire episode and would have to record it again.
Which we don't like to do.
I do not like to do that.
Yeah.
And
I'm not even sure I like recording the first time.
Oh no, this was terrible. This is a 2 out of 10.
Right.
And if we almost lost it wasn't gonna get better.
No, but the best part is once we realized that we had recovered it, that 2 out of 10 quickly became like a 9 out of 10.
I was actually a little bit sad because we could have done a 4 minute version of what we just did, but better.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it kind of would. I thought that was the ghost of Steve Jobs telling us, come on, you can do better.
But it's saved. We're good. We're saved.
Instead, it was Ashton Kutcher. Who said it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's saved. Anyway, we're back. That was part one with Chris Marquardt. I gave him zero intros in this. I just remember we came in hot. He gives all his plugs at the end of part two. So go check him out at Photosensei dot something. I don't really know what it is, but he's the Photosensei. That's what he's doing now. We'll put a link in our show notes, of course. Check him out at Tips from the Top Floor.
Wait, back up a sec. We can't just gloss over Photo Sensei. Like, is this all Karate Kid related or what?
Yeah, him and Billy Zabka are putting something together.
Nice.
No, there's no karate involved. He basically does private online photo tutoring.
Right.
Normally he would be out doing workshops all around the world. Except right. Not now, obviously.
But why sensei? Does he go over why he's the sensei?
In our interview, no. We spent most of the time talking about your mom.
Okay.
So maybe your mom. If your mom knows why, then yeah.
All right. I'll ask her, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you.
So anyway, check him out there. Chris, for those of you who don't know, Chris does a multiple podcasts. He does Tips from the Top Floor. He does Happy Shooting in German. He's a regular on Leo Laporte's show. All kinds of stuff. He and I did the Invisible Camera almost 10 years ago, Adam. Can you believe that?
Wow. We should, you know, there should be a reunion video.
No, probably not. Okay. All right. We'll leave that one buried. But it's been a while since I've actually seen that, and rightfully so. But check that out. Those are all. That's who Chris Marquardt is. He used to live here in Tübingen. That's how I got to know him. Anyways, that was part one. Next week we're gonna review our listener submissions, and then the following week you're gonna hear part two, where we get into Adam's childhood with his mom. So
okay,
there's great. That. Oh, I lost my show notes in this all this mess. Here we are. Challenge next week is our monthly challenge, and that is window light hashtag two hosers monthly challenge hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us at two hosers on the Grimity Gram, the Grammy Grammin.
Yeah, everybody, just be Grammin.
Just be Grammin.
I feel like there's a Bob Marley song in there somewhere.
That's what I was thinking too. And I was like, that's just walk away.
Okay.
Once right. again, there's the ghost of Steve Jobs again. I got it. We'll do better. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. I said it's window light, right?
Yeah.
I lost in all this confusion of right. mediocrity. I can't remember what I said.
The best part is this is definitely recording.
Yeah. Yeah. Until they come and take our mics away. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. And your
mine,
stuff?
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com. The two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.